You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Open your Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. You know, in all the years that I've been traveling throughout the country, we've seen many, many miracles. I've had a person with a blind eye open. We've had several people who were deaf, their ears open. We've had numerous people with cancers get healed, tumors disappear. I've had several diabetics healed. They don't need to put insulin into their body any longer. We thank God for that. Preached on prosperity. I've seen several people move from zero to making $1 million in a year. I've seen a number of people have been directly influenced by my ministry, went from zero to making $500,000 in a year. I have a good friend of mine, hands out my prosperity book to people so they'll understand how his business is run. In 1 year, he gave over $800,000 to his church. And when you see things like that happen as a result of your ministry, it's very, very humbling. And I thank God for every answer to prayer that we've seen. But I've also seen a lot of people who never got that miracle. They didn't get their healing. They didn't get their bills paid. And that's always frustrated me, because I want everyone to receive from God. Jesus is the one who said, "Everyone that asketh, receiveth." So if someone doesn't receive, I want to study the Word of God and figure out how to deliver something to them that will help them remove that hindrance so that they can receive from God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And I hit on something here that I think is going to be the answer for some people in this church. We're going to be talking about the subject of consecration. Consecration to God is the beginning of answered prayer. And I got a lot to say. I'm telling you, this is going to bless you. So fasten your seat belts. Let's get on this awesome ride today. It's going to be good. Have you found Exodus chapter 4? Let's begin reading at verse 2. This is God speaking to Moses at the burning bush. Verse 2, it says, "And the Lord said unto him," that's Moses, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And God said, "Cast it on the ground." And Moses cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it. Notice this phrase, "and it became a rod in his hand." Now, move down to verse 20. "And Moses took his wife and his sons and set them upon an ass. And he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took," notice this phrase, "the rod of God in his hand." Now, here's what I want you to see. God had Moses throw down the rod. And when God had him pick it up again, it became the rod of God. It was the rod of Moses, but now it's the rod of God. It was an ordinary walking stick, but now it's a supernatural point of contact. And what at one time seemed insignificant became the very thing that God would later use to divide the Red Sea. See, when God breathes on what you give Him, it becomes powerful and life-changing. You know, when I teach on tithes and offerings, I always teach that financial seed in your hand is the very thing God will take and multiply into prosperity and abundance. If you need a miracle, it always starts with what's in your hand. The jawbone of an ass doesn't seem like much, but in Samson's hand, it became a powerful tool for God against the enemy. In warfare, a boy's slingshot doesn't seem like much, but in David's hand, it became a powerful tool for God against the enemy. So whatever we lay at the feet of Jesus, when God tells us to pick it up again, it becomes sanctified. That is, it becomes set apart for the Master's use. See, after Moses laid down the rod, when God had him pick it up again, it was now sanctified. That is, it was set apart for the Master's use. It became the rod of God. It looked the same, but it was not the same. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to say this about prosperity. You know me, it is the will of God for you to prosper in your finances. But until you lay down your money at the feet of Jesus, it will never become the powerful weapon for the kingdom of God that God wants it to be. One time Jesus said, if God cannot trust you with unrighteous mammon, how can he trust you with the true riches? In other words, what we do with our money determines how much of the anointing and the supernatural we'll experience in God. And the problem with most Christians' finances is not that they don't have enough money, but that they haven't laid down what money they do have at the feet of Jesus. If we could just get Christians to lay down what money they do have at the feet of Jesus, they'd find that they'd have more than enough money to pay all their bills. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Moses did not have a Moses did not have a power problem. Moses had a consecration problem. And most Christians don't have a money problem. They've got a consecration problem. The scripture says we have to be willing and obedient in order to eat the good of the land. Now see, most Christians think if they're obedient, that should qualify them to eat the good of the land. But obedience is only partial consecration. Christians have said to me, Brother Greg, I've been obedient to tithe. But you see, the problem is not in being obedient to tithe. The problem is in not being willing to tithe. See, you have to want to do it. In fact, write this down. Consecration is willingness and obedience. Consecration is willingness and obedience. Not just obedience, willingness. In other words, you have to want to do it. Now, thank God you've been obedient to tithe. But now let's work on the other part of the consecration and let's be willing to tithe. I mean, if you're already being obedient to tithe, you might as well at least be happy about it. Amen? Because it's the willing and the obedient who eat the good of the land. See, consecration is the most important Bible subject that most Christians don't know anything about. Consecration, as we see with Moses, is the door to the power of God. If Moses would not have laid down the walking stick, he would have been trying to deliver God's people on his own. In other words, without the power. If Moses would not have laid down the rod, he'd been trying to deliver God's people with an ordinary walking stick. And I'm here to tell you there's a huge difference between a walking stick and the rod of God. But you don't get the rod of God until you first lay down the walking stick. The power comes after the consecration. And you don't get righteous mammon until you've first been faithful with unrighteous mammon. See, this is what's been left out of our teaching on prosperity. We got a whole lot of Christians trying to serve mammon and God, when they should be having mammon serve them while they're serving God. Can I hear an amen? See, church, understand me. God is trying to get more money into the hands of Christians than we've ever dreamed of. But God won't empower anything that hasn't first been laid down at the feet of Jesus. Earlier in Moses' life, he once tried to deliver God's people without first laying down the walking stick, and he ended up killing an Egyptian. And you want to know why God didn't back him up then? Because again, God won't empower anything that hasn't first been laid down at the feet of Jesus. And when Christians try to do anything for God without the power, they end up killing an Egyptian. And likewise, when Christians try to prosper financially without first laying down their money at the feet of Jesus, they'll kill an Egyptian every single time. And after a time, it begins to stink. People get offended with the message. And really, the church wonders why we don't have more power. Yeah. Quite frankly, I'm amazed we've had as much power as we've had, considering there's been such little consecration. When the consecration level is low, the power level is low. When the consecration level gets higher, the power level gets higher. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, we're in Exodus chapter 4. Turn back to Genesis chapter, I think it's chapter 22. We talked about Moses laying down the rod. Now we're going to look at a similar principle found with Abraham when God asked him to lay down Isaac on the altar. Genesis chapter 22. Let's pick it up at verse 15. It says, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing," and notice this phrase, "and has not withheld thy son." See, that's the problem with a lot of Christians. They hold something back. But Abraham, or God said to Abraham, "Because thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son," notice this, verse 17, "that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven." See, because Abraham laid down Isaac on the altar, Abraham was positioned by God to get blessed beyond his wildest imagination. Abraham got the highest honor. Abraham got the biggest, most tremendous blessing because he was willing to lay down his greatest treasure on the altar in obedience to God. Now, did you catch those two words, willing and obedient? He was willing to lay down his greatest treasure on the altar in obedience to God. See, consecration is the door to blessing and prosperity. God said, "Because you did this for me," he said, "I am going to do this for you." And this is the key to greatness in God. Whatever God tells you to do, be willing and obedient to do it. Abraham was a man of consecration. Abraham laid down his best on the altar, and when God told him to pick up Isaac again, he had a blessing beyond anything he had ever experienced. After Moses laid down the rod, when God told him to pick up the rod again, he had more power than he had ever experienced. So the point is, power comes from consecration. As with Abraham, blessing and prosperity comes from consecration. We could even say multiplication and increase comes from consecration. Answered to prayer, healing comes from consecration. So consecration to God is the beginning of success. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now, turn over, if you will, to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. And while you're finding that scripture, let me say this. You know, so far we've been talking about laying down physical things on the altar, but let me suggest something to you. What about laying down your temper on the altar? What about laying down your emotions on the altar at God's feet? What about laying down your always wanting to get your own way on the altar at God's feet? See, for some people, that's their God, their biggest treasure. And they'll hold on to that like it's the biggest diamond in the world. And they'll protect it, they'll shine it, and yet it's the very thing that's keeping the blessing and the prosperity from them. If you let your temper dominate you, or if you let your emotions dominate you, it will short-circuit any blessing that God has for you. You've got to lay it down. And when God tells you to pick it up again, it'll have a sweet-smelling savor to it, and it'll have the power of God on it. Amen. But you are going to have to be willing to pay a price that your flesh doesn't want to pay. But if you will yield to your spirit instead of giving into your flesh, you'll have more of a blessing than you'll know what to do with. Can I hear an amen? Now, here in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we're going to look at David. We looked at Moses, we looked at Abraham. Now with David, we're going to see the very same principle in action. This particular scripture that we're going to read, David was in a situation. He'd been seeking God. Actually, there was a plague in the land and thousands of people were dying. And so David was needing an answer. So he sought God, and God sent Gad the prophet to him. And I want us to hear or look at this situation. Let's begin reading now verse 18 of 1 Chronicles chapter 21. It says, "Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor and bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the," notice this phrase, "for the full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all." Boy, don't you love the heart of that guy, Ornan? You know, I was thinking about this last week. If we could just get New Testament Christians to act like this Old Testament believer, we'd have more New Testament signs and wonders. Can I hear an amen? And you know that was credited to his heavenly account. Glory to God. But here's what I wanted you to see, verse 24. I wanted you to see what King David said. "And King David said to Ornan, nay," in other words, "no, but I will verily buy it for the full price," and underline the rest of this verse, "for I will not take that which is yours for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." In other words, David said, I am not going to give anything to God that doesn't cost me something. Whew, glory to God, I got to say that again. David said, I am not going to give anything to God that doesn't cost me something. See, everyone wants the power, but not everyone is willing to pay the price. Everyone wants their problems to stop, but they want someone else. They want Ornan to pay the price. But if you are not willing to pay the price, you will never get God's best. God's best is available only to people who pay the price. David got God's best because he was willing to pay the price. David's problem stopped because he was willing to pay the price. But the problem with so many Christians is they won't pay the price. But you see, paying the price is what consecration is all about. It's no big mystery why David paid the price. He was fully consecrated to God. And see, the problem with a lot of Christians as to why they won't pay the price is because they're not fully consecrated to God. They're holding something back. And the crazy thing is, it may only be something small or as small as a little fingernail. But that little fingernail is what's withholding their blessing. Listen to me, church. If you are 99% over the fence, you might as well bring that little fingernail over the fence with you. Because partial consecration is not the answer. Even 99% consecration is not the answer. The full blessing of God comes upon people who are 100% consecrated to God. All of your life, all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your body, all of your finances, all of your plans, all of your will, everything is laid down on the altar, laid down at God's feet. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, David got this. Abraham got this. Moses got this. And these people enjoyed the full blessing of God because they were fully consecrated to the Lord. In fact, I want everyone to say this after me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, I am willing and obedient. Not just obedient. I am willing. I will do anything you want me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's talk about Jonah. Jonah was a different story. Jonah was willing to do anything God wanted him to do only if it was something he already wanted to do. Now, do you remember the story of Jonah? God told Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach. But Jonah didn't like the people of Nineveh, and so he didn't want to go. Amen? He didn't want to do it. See, it's like a lot of Christians today. They'll do anything God wants them to do as long as it's something they already want to do. But if God wants them to do something that they don't want to do, if God wants them to go to their Nineveh, they don't want to do it. See, those are the kind of Christians that want the prosperity, but they don't want to tithe. They want fellowship, but they go to church only when they want to. They want the full blessing of God, but the problem is they pitch their tent towards Sodom. You remember the story of Lot? Abraham and Lot were so wealthy that they each had to move to different parts of the country. And when Lot got away from Abraham's influence on a day-by-day basis, then pretty soon the fertile land he was living in wasn't enough. And the scripture said he pitched his tent towards Sodom. In other words, he didn't want to be in Sodom, but he wanted to enjoy the life of Sodom. It's like a lot of people today. They want to be Christians, but they also want to be worldly and do things they know they shouldn't do. See, Lot allowed his consecration level to slip. And the next thing we see, the Bible said he was living in Sodom. Now, church, we're still talking about prosperity at this point. Because Lot was not fully consecrated to God, he lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his possessions. He lost all of his influence. His wife died before her time. And his last days were spent living in a cave in a drunken stupor. See, partial consecration is not really consecration at all. You've got to lay down all of your life at God's feet so that He can breathe His life into yours. You've got to lay down all of your finances at God's feet so that He can bless them. You have to lay down all of your plans at God's feet and pick up His plans. You have to lay down what you want to do and pick up what He wants you to do. You know, as the old saying goes, don't make your own plans and ask God to bless them. First, ask God what's the plan, and you'll find the plan is already blessed. And I'm telling you the truth, you don't even know what prosperity is until you do what God wants you to do. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Don't be like Jonah and run from the very thing you know you're supposed to do, or you'll get on a boat that doesn't have the blessing of God on it. You know, so many people, they make their own plans, and then they wonder why storms come up and why fish try to swallow them. The answer is because they're going in the wrong direction. They're not doing what God wants them to do. They're making their own plans. But there's no blessing on what you do that's apart from God. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Look at verse 24 again. Verse 24, and King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." I've got to say it again. David said, "I'm not going to give anything to God that doesn't cost me something." Now, we could also say it this way. David said, "I'm not going to try to get something for nothing." You know, that's the problem with so many people today. They try to get something for nothing. Amen. Amen. Let's just get real honest now, church. You know, there's some people, they don't want to do anything for God, but they want God to do everything for them. But that doesn't even make sense. How can you rightfully expect God to do everything for you if you won't do anything for Him? And I'm sorry to say, but you know some people, I'm just going to have to say it, they're just cheapskates. And they try to do to God what they do to some people. And you may trick some people, but you cannot trick God. Listen to me, church, God is no fool. And you may think you're getting by with something, but everything is being recorded. And God is not going to invest in anything or anyone if He's not going to get a return. God is an excellent investor. And if you're not going to give anything back to Him, then why should He invest anything into you? You know, see, some people are what I call foxhole Christians. In other words, they'll live like the devil and they'll do what they want to do. But if bombs start exploding and machine gun bullets start whizzing by, that's when they decide to talk to God. They only think about God if they want to get something from God. But if God wants something back from them, they're not interested and they don't care. But if another problem comes up, then they decide to talk to God again. See, there's no consecration there. See, consecrated people don't act like that. And I'm here to tell you the truth. God is looking for Jonahs who will go to Nineveh without all the fuss. God is looking for rich young rulers who will give to the poor without all the fuss. God is looking for Jonahs who won't turn their backs on Jesus when the going gets tough. Can I hear an amen? In fact, I tell you what, let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 1. The book of Isaiah chapter 1. I have made mention of this scripture, and I think at this point it would be good to actually look at this verse. Isaiah chapter 1. Now, we've looked at three individuals so far. We've looked at Moses, we've looked at Abraham, we've looked at David. We see the principle involved in all three. In fact, the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So we have it there, but now let's look at this verse that I think is going to help you. And you'll see some truth here. Move down to verse 19. It says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Someone say amen. I gotta read that again. Follow along. If ye be willing, underline the word willing, and obedient, underline the word obedient, ye shall eat the good. Ye shall eat the good, catch that phrase, ye shall eat the good of the land. Now see, the good of the land is referring to prosperity. It's referring to the blessing of the Lord. God wants you to be blessed. God wants you to eat the good. Think about this, church. God doesn't want you to eat the bad of the land. God doesn't want you to eat the mediocre of the land. God doesn't want you to eat the scrubs of the land. God doesn't want you to eat the leftovers of the land. God wants you to eat the good of the land. Glory to God. See, God wants you to be blessed. If you're eating the good of the land, doesn't that mean you're not living in poverty? Doesn't that mean you're not poor? Well, of course it does. And this verse is telling us the kind of people who get to eat the good of the land. In other words, not everyone is going to get to eat the good of the land. But everyone can eat the good of the land. And this verse is telling us the people who get to. Look at the first word of verse 19. If. Underline that word. If. If. Right there shows us that not everyone is going to qualify. If means you may do it, and it means you may not do it. In fact, this verse also shows us that the responsibility is on us. It says, if ye, so underline the word ye. If ye, so ye are going to have to be open. Ye are going to have to make a decision. The good of the land is available. But the if and the ye shows us that whether or not we eat the good of the land, it's going to be up to us. Amen. It's not up to God for us to eat the good of the land. It does not say if you belong to God, you'll eat the good of the land. Amen. No, instead it places the responsibility on us. As the King James says, ye. Ye are going to have to be open to two things. If ye be, number one, willing, and if ye be, number two, obedient. Now, most people, most Christians understand the obedient part. We know we're supposed to be obedient. We know that if we don't live right, or if we don't do what God wants us to do, we're not going to get answers to prayer. So we understand, yes, we're supposed to be obedient. We got that part down. But the reason some Christians don't have a successful prayer life is because they didn't know they also were supposed to be willing. Now, the dictionary definition of the word willing means, number one, eager. Number two, ready. And number three, prepared to do something. It means eager, ready, and prepared to do something. Well, now you can see already the problem with some Christians. They're not eager. They're certainly not ready or prepared to do anything for God. In fact, you know what? I'm going to get real blunt. You want to know the problem with a lot of Christians? The problem with a lot of Christians is they have to be talked into doing anything that God wants them to do. They have to be talked into tithing. They have to be talked into giving an offering. They have to be talked into praying. They have to be talked into living right. They have to be talked into studying the Word. And they'll finally do it. If you talk them into it, they'll finally do it. But do you see what God has to put up with? God doesn't want to have to always talk you into obeying Him. See, everyone thinks God always gets His way. And that's not true. God rarely gets His way. I mean, think about your own life. Think how many times God has had to deal with you over and over and over to get you to do what He wants you to do. Or to get you to forgive someone. Haven't you ever had God tell you to forgive someone? You know, I mean, think about that. You know, forgive him, forgive her, forgive them. But you know, some people won't ever do it, even though they know God has told them to do it. They only do what they want to do. And God will tell people to pray, they won't do it. God will tell people to tithe, they don't do it. God tells people to give offerings, they don't do it. God will tell people to stop living in sin, they don't do it. God will tell people to study the Word, they don't do it. And God constantly finds Himself in this situation of using people to talk people into doing what's right. And then the small percentage of those who do what God wants them to do, they only do it because they have to, not because they want to. And you'll even hear them say, well, God told me to do this, but I don't really want to do it. But I'm doing it because He told me to do it. Well, see, they've just admitted they're not willing. They're only doing it because they have to, not because they want to. And God has to put up with Christians over and over and over who are not willing, to people who have to be talked into doing what God wants them to do. Church, that's not consecration. That is not consecration. Those kind of Christians are just like Jonah. They only do what God wants them to do because they have to, not because they want to. And they want the blessing of Abraham, but are you ready for this? You don't get the blessing of Abraham with the heart of Jonah. The blessing of Abraham is for people with the heart of Abraham. To people who are eager to obey God. People who are ready to obey God. People who are prepared to do what God wants them to do. See, Jonahs don't get Abraham's blessings. Jonahs only do what God wants them to do because they have to, not because they want to. And then they claim the blessing of Abraham, but then they wonder why things don't ever get better. Well, the answer is because God does not manifest His blessings to people who are not willing, to people who have to be talked into doing whatever it is God wants them to do. Consecrated people are the kind of people who are eager, they're ready, and they're prepared to do whatever God wants them to do. If God speaks to their heart and says pray, then they pray, no questions asked. If the word says tithe, they tithe, no questions asked. If the word says give an offering, they give an offering, no questions asked. If the word says live right, they live right, no questions asked. If the word says study their Bibles, they study their Bibles, no questions asked. Now, I'm not saying they're perfect people. I'm just saying they're eager and ready and prepared to do what God wants them to do. Amen. Moses was far from perfect when he laid down the walking stick. But the point is, Moses was willing. He was eager to obey God. And right there is the difference between Moses and Jonah. Yeah. Moses and Jonah were both obedient. They both did what God wanted them to do. The difference was Moses was willing and Jonah wasn't. They're both going to heaven, but Moses was willing and Jonah wasn't. And right there is the difference between valuable and useful. Jonah was just as valuable to God as Moses was from a love standpoint, because God loves and values everyone, but Moses was more useful to God on earth. See, God loves all of us. God values every human being, but some people are more useful to God on earth than other people. And consecration is what determines our level of usefulness. The more consecrated we are to God, the more pleasure we bring to God, because the more useful we are to His plans. Can I hear an amen? Glory to God. I want everyone to say it again. Say, Heavenly Father, I am willing and obedient. Not just obedient. I want to do what you want me to do. In the name of Jesus. You know, see, when you first get a hold of this, it's kind of like going up a mountain. You know, at the bottom of the mountain, the road is real wide. In fact, it's like that when you start in the ministry. You know, there's a lot of people God calls. I remember when I first started in the ministry, there were so many things I could do and still be in the road. But the higher you get up the mountain, the more narrow the road gets. And you find the higher you get up the mountain, there's less and less things that you can get by with. And what's happened is we've come into a year, God is telling His people to grow up. You know, years ago, it was enough just to be obedient to tithe. You know, and God would bless people. But the thing that's happened is people are not as blessed as they used to be. And the reason is because now God's saying, be willing with your obedience. Add the want to. It's not enough just to tithe. See, a lot of people, you know, they'll put it in the offering plate. They know they have to, but they don't want to. And God's saying it's time to change. Be a prompt to do giver. Be willing to do it. Change your want to. When I got into the ministry, oh, I tell you, years ago, back in 1978, I came back to the Lord. I was playing my trumpet at Disneyland. I did not want to obey God. And the funny thing is, when I was a kid, I knew I was supposed to be a preacher when I grew up. But I did not want to be a preacher when I was a kid. And I ran from God as hard, as fast as I could. And I was playing in rock bands, disco bands, all of that. You know, I was just trying to get away from just anything that had to do with God. And finally, I was playing at Disneyland, playing for Mickey Mouse. Now you laugh, but Mickey pays real good. And they furnished me with a 3-bedroom apartment, paid all of my bills, drove me back and forth from work, paid my L.A. union dues. It was a great gig. Did 4 shows every day at the Space Mountain stage. And God started dealing with me again. He said, Greg, get your life right with me. Do what I want you to do. Be a preacher. I said, God, I don't want to be a preacher. But, you know, God just hung in there. Greg, get your life right with me. Do what I want you to do. Be a preacher. I said, God, I don't want to be a preacher. People would make fun of me. My family wouldn't understand. I'm not going to do it. But you know, the more I argued, the more God got in there. Get your life right with me. Do what I want you to do. Be a preacher. Finally got to this point. I said, God, I don't want to be a preacher. But, you know, I'm just so tired of hanging around with these kind of people and these bands. These people wake up in the morning, don't even know what bed they're waking up in. And I'm just so sick and tired of that stinking, rotten mess. And I said, Lord, I don't want to do that, but I don't want to be a preacher. But I have enough sense to know you're not going to give up until I do what you want me to do. And so I said, God, if you want me to be a preacher, I'll be a preacher, but you're going to have to get me places to preach because I'm not going to do anything about it. Real consecration, wasn't it? Well, see, I was obedient, I was like Jonah. I didn't want to do it. But see, at that point in my life, I didn't know anything. God accepted that. Well, I remember I came back to Missouri, and there's this little country preacher. In this little town, they have one stop sign. Not one stop light, one stop sign. And this preacher heard through the family grapevine that I was going to be a preacher, and he called me up. And he said, "Greg, I hear you're going to be a preacher. Is that true?" And I, in shame, I answered, "Yes, it's true." And he said, "Well, why don't you bring your trumpet out to the church and play a couple of songs for us and preach?" I said, "All right, I'll come." So I didn't know any Christian songs to play. You know, Dance Fever just won't cut it Sunday morning. And so I got a hymnal out from the church I was raised in, and I memorized Amazing Grace and In the Garden. I went out to the church. I played those solos. Then they handed me the microphone. I'm supposed to preach. Well, I didn't know how to preach. Now, I'd heard people preach, but I'd never stood up in front of people. And so I'd met two guys out in Southern California when I lived out there who got saved. So I shared their testimonies. That lasted about 15 minutes. And they had pews in this church, and the pastor was sitting where this gentleman is over here on the end. I just turned to the preacher. I said, I always called pastors preachers back then. I said, "Preacher, I'm done." And so the preacher stood up and he said, "All right, anyone that's sick, come up front. He's going to pray for you." Well, I remember I looked at him. I thought, what in the world have I got into? And, you know, I mean, think about this. I was 21, maybe 21 and a half, 22, somewhere in there. I didn't know what I was doing. And the people picked up on that. And so no one wanted me to pray for them. Well, you have to understand, I was straight out of the world. I didn't want to pray for them to begin with, but the fact that they didn't want me to pray made me mad. You know, I've grown considerably since then. Still got a long ways to go, but I'm more further along than I used to be. But this pastor, now he's a retired minister now, a good friend of mine, he was just one of these real hard-nosed kind of guys. And I wish, if we had a wood pew, this guy, I don't know how he hit that thing as hard as he did, but bam, 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 and he looked up and he said, "Now look!" And everyone looked up and I looked at him. He said, "I know there's someone in here that needs prayer. Get out of your seat. Come up front and let that kid pray." Now, this is my introduction to the ministry. So there was a woman. She's about four pews back. I'm guessing she's about 70 years of age. She walked up to the front. She pulled down on the skin on her eye. She said, "I got something wrong with my eye." Well, she was right. That's the ugliest eye I'd ever seen. And I'm supposed to pray for her. Well, I'd never prayed for anyone before. And right then, that's when it hit me. The whole church was looking at me, expecting me to perform. Well, I didn't know what to do. My mind totally blanked. I couldn't think of a thing except for a Frankenstein movie I'd seen when I was a kid. Did you ever see that old movie? Remember Frankenstein had these bolts on his neck? I don't know if they held on his head or what they did, but all I could think of are these bolts on Frankenstein's neck. Isn't it funny the things God has to use? And I grabbed that woman by her neck where those bolts would have been. And I said, "In Jesus' name." Now, I was getting ready to say, "Please do something." Did you not? All I said was, "In Jesus' name." The moment I said Jesus' name, bam, she hit the floor. The whole church looked. This was a Southern Baptist church I was preaching in. The pastor had gotten spirit-filled, and I tell you, we were all looking at that body, and I remember we all looked up at the same time. All of our eyes met, and at that point, now they wanted me to pray. So everyone got out of their pews, they came up front, and so I grabbed the next person, you know, by the neck. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I said, "In Jesus' name." And when I said, "Jesus' name," bam, she hit the floor. They didn't have catchers. We didn't even think about that. I just went up to the next person, "Jesus' name," bam. In fact, they had those wood floors. You know, we didn't have carpet in those churches, you know, back then. Grabbed the next one, "Jesus' name," bam. Well, there's about 10 people on the floor by this time. Finally, they realized maybe they should help catch some of these people. And so, you know, people were running up, and I just kept grabbing them by the neck. "In Jesus' name, bam! In Jesus' name, bam! In Jesus' name, bam! In Jesus' name, bam!" Now, I tell you what, when that service was over with, we had about 80 people on the floor. And you talk about fun, that was fun. But that didn't happen until I was obedient to do what God wanted me to do. Now, God accepted that, but I'm here to tell you, if I came to your all's church today with that same kind of an attitude, only being obedient but not being willing, God wouldn't bless it. Because after a time, God expected me to grow up and have a heart change and actually want to obey God and do what God wants me to do. And what I'm here to tell you is what you've been getting by with in the past, God's saying it's over with. Let's grow up. Let's be the people I want you to be. Change your heart. It's not enough to be obedient. Be willing. Have the want to. The reason you're not eating the good of the land is because you've only been obedient. And God says it's the willing and the obedient who get to eat the good of the land. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you the good of the land is available. The good of the land is the will of God. The good of the land is what God wants you to enjoy. But it's not just obedient people. It's people who will make the heart change and said, God, I'll do anything you want to do. I want to do anything you want me to do. And I will not only obey you, but I will obey you with a willing heart. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. God is on your side. Let's make the changes and let's grow up. Let's stop being babies. Let's stop being little children in elementary school. Let's stop being teenagers. Let's grow up and become the man and the woman that God made us to be. Can I hear an amen? Amen.